if you're in the market to buy a home, I've got some good news for you. According to the Mortgage Bankers Association, the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage dropped to 3.91% last week, the lowest rate since last April. Could be good news for home sales, which would be good news for the company Zillow, which was launched back in 2006 and has changed the real estate market. In January of last year, Zillow CEO Spencer Raskoff and chief economist Stan Humphries published a book called Zillow Talk, The New Rules of Real Estate, and it is just out in paperback. When I talked with them last year, I asked about the Zestimate, a figure the company has come up with that estimates the value of almost every home in the U.S., and I asked Spencer Raskoff how they come up with that figure.
Yeah, well, it's a great question. It's probably what Zillow is best known for. Something like 80% of all homes in America have been Zillowed, have actually had the owner look up their Zestimate on the site. The way we calculate the Zestimate is a very complex algorithm, which Dr. Stan here can explain. But the shorthand is we look at the properties of the subject home and we compare it with like properties. But we do it using machine learning and algorithms, which are very complex. We value every home in the country every night. And nationwide, Zestimates are actually quite accurate, even though they're computer generated.
How accurate are they?
Well, right now, we religiously update our accuracy on our website. And for the past 3 months, our accuracy was 8% median absolute percent error, which is about twice as good as when we started in 2006, when our accuracy was about 14%. About 85% of Zestimates are within 20% of the selling price, and close to 40% are within 5%.
Although there are a lot of critics, including a real estate agent who wrote in the Washington Post that Zestimates are within 5% of the actual value of the home only half the time, and that if a real estate agent had that record, he'd be out of business. And he complains that a lot of these clients that he has cling to the Zestimate as if it's the official appraisal. I'm sure you've heard that criticism. How do you respond to it?
Well, you know, we call it a Zestimate, not as appraisal. It's supposed to be a starting point to figure out a home's value. If you want a more accurate opinion of your value, you should consult an appraiser or a real estate agent. Zillow provides all this great free information for consumers as a starting point, and the consumer is undoubtedly much more empowered today than 10 years ago before we started, and we think that's very important.
Well, I found one of the interesting things in the book is that you say that you don't think Zillow is going to replace the traditional appraiser. Why is that?
Because real estate is such a personal and expensive and infrequent and emotional transaction, there will always be a professional, an intermediary in the transaction. Now, the role of that professional has changed radically because of the internet and because of Zillow. It used to be, before Zillow came along, that the role of that real estate agent was to provide access to the consumer to that secret database of information. Well, now that secret database is online. It's on your smartphone. It's on your tablet. It's on Zillow. And so the consumer has the same information as the professional, but the consumer still needs the professional's help to help them interpret it. So the real estate agent's role has changed, but their importance has not been diminished.
And you don't think that as data gets even better and your algorithms get even better over time, you won't eventually someday replace the appraiser?
I don't think so. You know, we look at it a lot like healthcare, where a patient nowadays takes control of their health situation. They research online their disease, their drugs, the side effects, et cetera, but they still go to the doctor to help them interpret the information. And that's the way we see real estate going because it's so infrequent and expensive.
Which brings me to another question. Is a home, do you think, an investment or is it a place that you live?
Well, we think the housing market works best when people think of it not as an investment, so not as a speculative asset, but rather as a utility that you're going to consume. So, you know, I guess we get concerned when home prices appreciate at 12% a year and then the next year they fall 15. That's clearly behavior that is being fueled by people who are thinking of it as a speculative asset. And home prices work best when housing markets are boring and they appreciate 3.5% a year. And what they're really buying it for is it's a convenient way to consume the utility of putting a roof over your head. And if you think about it like that, then we think people end up making smarter decisions versus thinking, you know, getting caught up in hysterias like we had in the height of the last housing cycle, where people think the default decision should always be to buy a home, and they kind of threw everything else out the window, like how long you're going to be in the house, whether home prices might be, you know, a little bit rich relative to historical norms or anything else.
We're speaking with Stan Humphries, the chief economist at Zillow, and Spencer Raskoff, the CEO of Zillow. Their new book is called Zillow Talk, The New Rules of Real Estate. And Spencer, one thing you talk about in the book that I want to ask about is how do you predict, as you look at your data, what the next hot neighborhood is going to be?
We analyzed a lot of different neighborhoods and looked at different housing cycles around the country. And historically, it's actually been quite easy to figure out what the next hot neighborhood was going to be. It's to actually look at where the gay population lives in a given city. And one of the reasons for that is that historically speaking, gays have been priced out of the most expensive parts of the city. And so they move into a different part of the city, which quickly gentrifies and becomes hip and cool and then becomes very expensive pretty rapidly. However, now that gays are much more part of the social mainstream of our country, you can't follow that rule of thumb anymore. And so you have to look for other populations, the hipsters, if you will, the cool kids, and figure out where they're living. But one of the things that we analyzed in Zillow Talk is, although you might think you do best when you buy into one of those hot neighborhoods, you actually don't, because by the time you realize that a neighborhood is hot, it's already happened. And so you'd be better off buying the next closest neighborhood. Those homes are going to appreciate faster than the hot neighborhood. So the misnomer is location, location, location. It's really not the current location. It's what will the location be in 5 or 10 years? And the answer is probably whatever's closest to what's hot today.
You also look at the proximity of Starbucks to where the house is, and that actually makes a very big difference in the value, the potential value of your home.
It does. You know, this is something that was a lot of fun to analyze in the book. So we looked at 17 years worth of data and looked at every Starbucks in the country and every home within a quarter mile of that Starbucks. And homes within a quarter mile of a Starbucks appreciated 96% over those 17 years. If you were within a quarter mile of a Dunkin' Donuts, your home appreciated 80% during that time period.
Also, is that, though, just because of where those companies are putting their businesses? Or is it, like, was the neighborhood there first and they just found a good place to put it? Or is it that people want to live close to a Starbucks?
Yeah, we were interested in that, too, because obviously it is a little bit of a question of, you know, is it that the neighborhood was appreciating quickly in terms of home values and that's why they decided to put the Starbucks there? What we did actually were able to do with the Starbucks specifically was leverage some data that had been collected by this really kind of Starbucks super fan who had basically compiled a list of every single Starbucks in the world and the latitude and longitude of that Starbucks and then when it opened. And knowing that open date was really important because it then allowed us to do an econometric analysis where we controlled for the prior trajectory of home values in that Starbucks area and then look at what happened in the first 5 years after the Starbucks opened and did home values increase the pace or decrease the pace. And what we found was that doing an analysis that way, the effect is a little bit less than the 17-year analysis that Spencer described, but there's still a strong effect of living closer to Starbucks. Your home values do appreciate after that Starbucks opens up. So
and
it's
then
not,
you can afford the coffees that they have at Starbucks.
That's exactly right.
Now, You also talk about renovating your house and remodeling and doing work to upgrade it and whether that's actually worth it. I didn't realize that a kitchen remodel is really not a good idea if you want to try to recoup that money when you sell.
I think that chapter is so emblematic of everything else we tried to do with the book, which was, you know, we have these unexamined assumptions that we just carry around in our heads about real estate and have never asked, you know, where's that data come from? Because it's like each year I see some survey of people about what's going to be the biggest, you know, bang for your buck in a remodel. And it's always kitchen remodel, but it's always a survey. It was never empirical data. So what we did was we leveraged the information about thousands of homeowners who have claimed homes on Zillow and told us about their upgrades. And then subsequently we saw a sale on that house. And we were able to use that data to tease out the impact of that upgrade they told us about. And what we found was that actually kitchen remodel wasn't the biggest bang for the buck. Instead, it was a bathroom remodel. So adding some functionality to the house of a working toilet was actually much more valuable in the resale than upgrading your kitchen.
In particular, a lower-end bathroom remodel because it doesn't have to be gorgeous. And people frequently overbuild on these remodeling projects hoping that they'll get the money out on the other end, and they usually don't.
Why do you think that is, that kitchen is not as important?
Because buyers have very specific tastes. And so if you remodel your kitchen in a very high-end way and the backsplash that you choose and the tile and the materials on the kitchen island are in a particular way that you really loved, that may or may not meet the needs and the tastes of a particular buyer. Whereas just having another functional bathroom, you know, everybody's going to be okay with that.
I remember my parents telling me that the house that they brought me up in as a kid, that when they bought it, it had been painted on the inside red and black because the previous owner was a doctor and wanted the house to look like the inside of a body or something like that. Needless to say, that was changed. I want to talk to you about some of the words that are used in listings, because this was an interesting part of the book as well, that if a house is described as unique, it's not going to do well.
Yeah, that's right. Unique is, you know, something clearly the current owner liked, but it means that unique should be a signal that it's more of a niche property, and it's probably not going to return as much as it would otherwise. In fact, we found that if you use unique in your listing description, it's likely to sell for 30 to 50% less than it would otherwise.
Wow.
Other words to avoid are nice, charming, cute. These are all kind of throwaway words that sellers or their listing agent, when they don't have anything real to describe about the functionality of the home, they use these throwaway words. And on the other hand, good words to use are things like luxurious, landscaped, captivating, and then describing the specific features of the home is also very helpful.
Spencer Raskoff, the CEO of Zillow. Stan Humphries is the chief economist. Their new book is called Zillow Talk, The New Rules of Real Estate. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremy.